if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now you may wonder why I gave you Deuteronomy chapter 4, since I informed everyone last Sunday and then with a text later on to read Exodus chapter 20 through 31. But I hope that will become evident in a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 4. That's where I will begin reading, Lord willing, unless something comes to me before I get there. But in Exodus chapters 20 through 31, there is so much there. So much there. And we could have spent weeks, if not months upon months, dealing with various things in the book of Exodus chapters 20 through 31. But let me point this out. When you read the book, and we're prone to forget this, when you read the book, pray that God gives you eyes to see the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ, no matter what verse or chapter you are reading.
Amen.
If all you get out of reading God's Word is just the history or just the mere commands of the Scripture, and you do not see Christ, you've missed the whole meaning of whether it be one verse or multiple chapters. As I said, there is so much here. Building an altar, for instance. If you do it, build it of earth. Build it of earth. If you do use stone, you don't lay a tool on it.
There you go.
Take the stones as God made them and put it together. Don't go up on that altar. Don't make it a real high altar lest your nakedness be discovered. I could preach on that for weeks. And some may ask, may say, well, if this ever does get to the, maybe the TV, some may say, well, here you're starting in Deuteronomy chapter 4. You have men and women turn to Deuteronomy 4, but you're preaching on Exodus chapter 20 through 31, and I had no idea you was going to be preaching on that. How could I have read that? Well, start coming here and start listening, and you'll be aware of these things if it really matters to you. But for today, I want us to take note of a pronounced division. That pronounced division is seen in chapter 24 and verse 12, but I will not read it. It's simply this. God has been speaking. And we'll look at it in a little more detail in a moment. God has been speaking. Moses has made trips to the mount. But then all of a sudden, in chapter 24 and verse 12, God says, Moses, come up to me in the mount. That's in 24 verse 12. Now prior to this, God had verbally announced the Ten Commandments from Sinai. That's chapter 20 verses 1 through 17. And as I mentioned to you, I think it was last Sunday, after all these years, I was under the impression that Israel did not know of the Ten Commandments till Moses brought them down. Of course, I knew he broke the first set, so I was confused. Well, the reason I was confused is because I didn't read the Word of God to study it, I just read it. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, God Almighty thundered forth the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, what language did he speak? He spoke Hebrew. Well, these were Hebrews he was speaking to. But there were probably men who will preach more about that than they would about actually Jesus Christ. So prior to this, God verbally announces the Ten Commandments from Sinai. God then gives various, and this is just my own phrase, God gives various moral conduct commandments to Moses for Israel. You'll see that in chapter 20, verse 18, all the way through 24, verse 11. We're not told when these commandments were given to Israel by Moses. I take it that it was pretty close to the time that Moses got them. But we don't know. We're not really given that information. After that, then Moses is called up to Sinai to receive the tables of stone. He's called up in the Sinai to receive the tables of stone, but he's there for 40 days and 40 nights.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah. It didn't take God 40 days and 40 nights with his finger to write the two tables and the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
You'll see that if you look at chapter 24, verses 12 through verse 18. Come up. I'll give you commandments. But before Moses even receives the Ten Commandments on stone, and now look at Deuteronomy. Before he even receives the Ten Commandments on stone, and that's all that was on the stone tablets.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 4, verse 13. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon two tables of stone. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Now, to even make this more strong, look at chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, in verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. You see that? And he added them. Wait a minute. We have many other commandments, but we're talking about what? And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments sum up all the rest of the commandments.
Yes, sir.
Now, we as men, often preachers, theologians, break the law down into generally three parts. We talk about the moral law, part of the law, not the moral law. It's not, there's not moral law as opposed to immoral law.
Exactly.
They break it down into the law as moral. That's the Ten Commandments. They break it down to the law and its civics. That's the way Israel was to live, generally, things of life. And then there was the worship part of the law. But the first part of the law and the first two commandments said you don't worship anything other than God.
Amen.
So you can't separate God's law as though one part matters more than another.
Exactly.
We've got to be clear. Now, there's nothing wrong with using those terms to define three aspects of the law, but remember, it's one law.
Amen.
It's one law. And it's like this. It's like this. So, Moses receives the Ten Commandments. They're written on stone, and they are on the stone. Is Ten Commandments and Ten Commandments only. Now, that's what the book says. That's not my opinion.
That's right.
That's what the book says. Now, so far, this is all just history.
Yeah.
We're just getting an idea of the context here. Now, as I said, before Moses even receives the Ten on stone, though, God gives Moses detailed worship commandments, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
Commandments concerning tabernacle and priest and sacrifice, does he not? And if you read it, you see that in chapter 25, verse 1, all the way through chapter 31, verse 11. This even came before he gave him the two tablets of stone.
Yeah.
Written with the finger of God, the book says.
Yes, sir.
But remember, God had already given the Ten Commandments, sounded them forth verbally from Sinai.
Yes, sir.
Now, the amazing thing as I read this was, right before Moses is called up unto the mount, turn back to Exodus chapter 31. Right before Moses is called up into the mount to receive the Ten Commandments on two tables of stone, and unbeknownst to Moses, as far as we know, he didn't realize he's going to get far more than just the Ten Commandments, though.
Yeah.
And God starts off not with the Ten Commandments, but with the law of worship. Okay, how to worship. Precise details of worship. Then go to Leviticus and Deuteronomy. You'll see them even detailed even further.
Yes, sir.
Even further. But now look at this. Exodus 31. This caught my attention. Verse 12. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now this is just before he's told to come up to Sinai. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou unto also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths, days of rest, ye shall keep. And I thought, why this commandment? Huh? Now the Sabbatarian says, because it's probably more important than anything else. Now folks, I've listened to a couple of them. They stress the Sabbath commandment more than they stress the first commandment.
Yeah, you're right.
That's just the fact.
Yeah, you're right.
But look what it says. Now you want to be a Sabbatarian? Here's the Sabbath. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore. For it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely, what? Be put to death. Is this not what God Almighty is telling Moses to give to Israel? You want to keep the Sabbath physically? Then if somebody don't, what's it say to do? Kill them. Well, we can't do that. You're right. You're right. Go ahead and do it and try it. No, I'm not going to dare you. I'm going to have people come and say, well, he said for me to do it. Try to blame me like this whole world's trying to blame everybody else for everything else. But this is what the law of the Sabbath is. Look at it.
Yes, sir.
Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among the people. 6 days you work, not five eighths. Not 4 tens. How many? Now somebody said you're picking on Sabbatarians. That's exactly right now. Because when you hold up any one law as over and above or opposed to another, then you're playing games with God Almighty's law.
That's right.
How many people go to the boss and say, listen, I don't just work 5 days a work a week, I gotta work six. God commanded it. How many? Now I don't know all Sabbatarians, but I bet you they're glad to have their 5/8 rather than 6/12. Huh? Now come on, let's just be honest with God's Word. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh, it is the Sabbath of rest. Holy to the Lord. Whatsoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Three times he stressed this.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And as I've been prone to say lately, yes or no?
Exactly.
Yes or no? Who is it better to obey, God or men?
There you go. Amen.
Now come on. Who is it better to obey? God? Well, we can't do that in this country. God or men?
There you go.
God or men?
There you go.
Then I thought, wow. What a way to kind of introduce Moses to coming up into the mount.
Yeah.
Don't you think? But here's my title. Here's my subject. We need rest from our doing.
Yeah.
We need rest from our doing.
Amen. That's right.
Consider both the moral and worship commandments in their true light. And I'm only speaking of the two, because remember, it's all like this.
Yeah.
But the worship is mentioned sometimes distinct from the moral.
Yeah.
Although the worship was not immoral.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yes.
Now let me try to consider both the moral and worship commandments that's left in their true light. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we're looking at the testimony of God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul basically begins by saying, I don't have to prove myself to anybody.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what I'm paraphrasing two or three verses. But we don't have to prove ourselves. You are the proof of the ministry of the gospel by me, Paul's saying. You are. You Corinthians are. Verse 3. For as much ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And that's kind of what Joe was talking about this morning. Not in tables of stone. Now, what do you think he's talking about there? You know what he's talking about there. The 10, what we call moral commandments.
Yeah.
Right? Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ the Godward. God's the one that caused this to come to pass. Joe done preached. We sow. Some sow. Some may water, Paul one time put it. God gives the increase. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers, that is, servants of the new covenant. And there are two covenants.
Yes, sir.
If you're under the wrong one, you're in danger.
Exactly. Yeah. Amen.
Of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Amen. For the letter does what? It kills.
Amen.
You mess up on one Sabbath, you're a dead man.
That's exactly right.
You hear?
Yeah.
If we truly try to live by the law, defile one Sabbath. And there are many Sabbaths.
Amen.
You're a dead man. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But preacher, he's not really talking about the Ten Commandments. It's got to be something. Look, verse 7, but if the ministration of death, and now there is no doubt, written and engraven in stones.
Amen.
What's he talking about? Those two tables of rock,
yeah,
that God, with His own finger, wrote and gave to Moses on the mount.
Yes, sir.
And He's talking here about those 10 and those 10 only right now. But they're said to be what? Killing. Death. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, and we're not saying it's not glorious.
Exactly.
People say you're against God's law. Oh, no. We're looking for the true purpose of God's law.
Amen.
Was glorious so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. And we'll look at that in a moment.
Yeah.
How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of... Now he's talking about that one written in stone. For if the ministration of condemnation, all the law ever does,
yeah,
is kill and condemn.
Amen. That's right.
Because if you're going to be righteous before God, you got to keep them all.
Amen.
And I can't even keep the first one like it's supposed to be kept, let alone the rest of the 10 that sum up all the other hundreds.
Yeah. Exactly.
Moral, civil, or religious, if you want to put it that way. Somebody say, I don't know about that. Well, then you're still outside of Christ.
Exactly.
In a conversion experience.
Yeah.
Because one of the things God begins to teach you is that you cannot keep God's law.
Amen.
When He converts you to His Son. Now that's what Paul says about the moral aspect. Look at what he says about the worship aspect. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, first four verses. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, do you see that one word? Can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect.
Amen.
Never.
Never.
Never. Never. This wasn't the old way of worship. Now we've got a new way of worship. The old way of worship was pointing to and demanding the new way of worship.
Amen. That's it.
The old way of worship was a shadow or figure saying, someone is coming that's going to do this for you.
Amen. That's right.
For then, would they not have ceased to be offered?
Yeah.
If they could have made you perfect,
yeah,
there would be a final one. At least the final one. Right? For then will they not cease to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. Now he's specifically talking about the Day of Atonement.
That's right.
Every year. What does the law just remind you of your sins? Remind you of your sins.
Exactly.
Uh-oh, Day of Atonement's coming. What's that remind me of? Sins.
Exactly right.
But does it remind everybody in this world of that?
There you go.
No. Why? Because they're blind. They're spiritually blind. Their hearts are spiritually dull. They don't really understand the seriousness of God's holy law.
Yeah.
For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins.
Amen.
This is not a new way. That's been the truth even back when the old way was put in force.
Yeah.
You see? Put in force. Now there is the true light of God's law.
Yes, sir.
Neither part was designed as rest.
Exactly.
The moral demanded rest.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that in chapter 20, verse 8, 9, 10, 11, when the commandments were sounded forth. The moral demands rest. According to Paul in Hebrews 8:27-28, the worship excludes rest.
Yeah.
Somebody got to work, and go back and read it sometime.
Right.
Daily.
Right.
Daily.
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah.
Not just yearly. Daily.
Yeah.
Daily. Even on the Sabbath.
That's exactly right.
Daily. Daily. Bless God, somebody got to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
This is one law with two. Now listen to me. Maybe you've heard this said similar to this before, but maybe not. This is one law with two opposing parts. One part of it says there's a seventh day, and every seventh day you rest and nobody does any work or they die. But the other part of that, somebody says somebody's got to work every day of the week.
Right.
You know what it says?
Yes, sir.
Now it's time to rest from offering sacrifice for sins. Well, let me tell you something. On Friday evening at 6 o'clock till Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, I'm not sinless.
Exactly.
Peter called it a yoke.
Yeah.
Acts 15:10. Luke records it for us. He said it's a yoke. And he's not talking about one or the other part. He's talking about it's the whole law. Even if you bring circumcision into it, because though circumcision was ordained before the ten issued forth at Sinai, circumcision was included in the law of Israel.
Yep.
Peter says it's a yoke, and our fathers and us, either one, wasn't able to bear it.
That's right.
Oh, that God may teach me, I can't bear it.
Exactly.
It's a yoke I cannot bear. Paul quoted it in Galatians 10, verse 13, as a curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. No part of God's law was ever designed to make men right before God. None of it. The sacrifices couldn't make you right before God. They just reminded you about how bad you are.
Amen.
The moral tells you to work, not work.
Yeah.
Specific times of work, and other times you don't work at all.
That's right.
Paul says, it puts it this way, Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Let me just read. I don't want to misquote that or anyway. Anything. Galatians 3, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Because remember, the promises were given before the law was.
Yes, sir.
As far as overtly out. The promises were given to Abraham before Moses ever received the law some 400 and some years later. Is the law then against the promises of God? Absolutely not.
Amen.
God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness, so their life and righteousness are vitally connected together.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right.
which could have given life, verily righteousness, should have been by the law.
Amen.
Right? It should have been. So much so that Paul put it this way in chapter 2, verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, Christ died for nothing.
Exactly. That's it.
You see it? Christ is dead in vain. That's how serious this is.
Amen.
Now turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Give you just a jump start on getting there. Hebrews chapter 4. Two things to consider. Before I give us these two things, let me make a statement. The law says work, 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 work. Right?
Yeah.
But it also says rest, 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 rest.
Amen.
Aren't those two opposing things? They are what some have called diametrically opposed things.
Yeah.
But there is a rest for some.
Amen.
I like that. But there is a rest for some.
Amen.
Chapter 4 of Hebrews. Let us therefore fear. Don't take this for granted.
Yeah.
Don't you presume on God here.
Amen.
Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. In other words, you don't got what you think you got. I'm trying to be as simply stated as I can. You don't be careful that you think you got something. You better be careful. Make sure you really got it.
There you go. Yeah.
For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Somebody say, I don't see no gospel back there. If the whole thing's gospel.
Amen.
Before you get the Ten Commandments, even the worship commandments, bless God, you better have some rest.
Amen.
Isn't that what we read?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You best take serious this thing of rest. Because you don't rest, you die.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
That's it.
That's the gospel, folks.
Amen.
That's the gospel.
Yes, it is.
For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with not works, but faith.
Amen.
In them that heard it. Well, if a man works, he's got to have faith. James says that's not necessarily so.
Exactly.
A man can say he's got faith and not have the works that go along with faith.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And the Scripture, our Lord Jesus Christ is quite clear. There are some men, that man who, remember the man who built a house? Wait a minute, two men built a house. Both of them seen a need to build a house.
Yes, sir.
Both of them worked.
Yes,
they
sir.
Built a house. But there was a difference between the two.
Yes.
One built on a stone, the other built on sand.
That's right.
You see? Now look, let's go on.
Amen.
Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do, not will one day, do enter into rest.
Amen.
As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, what's he saying? Paraphrase briefly. Somebody's coming in.
That's right.
But it wasn't for them. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And remember, the seventh day existed before the commandment was written in stone. At Sinai.
Oh, yes, sir. That's right.
For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Why? And I love what the one preacher said. Don't even remember, I don't know who it was. God didn't rest because he was tired. God rested because he's done.
Amen.
He rested because he was done. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, then look, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein.
Amen.
Why? Because God did the works from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Christ is even as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Sir.
This is not God's second shot. This is what God purposed all along.
Amen. That's right.
seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of what? Not works, not a lack thereof, not too many. You can't have too many in that sense. You can't obey too much of God's law.
Exactly.
Can you? But look, because of what? Unbelief.
Amen.
Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. For if Jesus, and I do believe that should be Joshua so that we would better get the context, but Jesus himself, the Lord of glory,
amen,
the eternal Son of God, did not give these unbelievers rest back then. Both apply.
Yeah.
Why? Because they had unbelief.
Exactly.
For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
Amen.
I want to be one of those some.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I want to be one of the people of God.
Amen.
Do you?
Yes. There you go.
Do you? Now consider this some. According to the Apostle Paul, Christ is the end of the law, but only for some.
Yeah, that's right.
Now he said, we'll paraphrase this, so you'll see it. If you go back and read sometimes Romans 9, verse 30, all the way through chapter 10, verse 4. He said, the Jews sought after righteousness by doing the law. They didn't attain it. The Gentiles didn't seek after righteousness by doing the law, but they attained righteousness by faith.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's what it says. And that's kind of the context. And then he ends it up with this statement. For Christ is the end of the law, not just the engraven in stones, but the law. Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth.
Amen.
There's the sum. There's the God's people.
Yes, sir.
Those who believe. Secondly, Christ, here's the word. Christ disannulled, this is the King James word, Christ disannulled the shadows. Now listen to me. Christ didn't fulfill one aspect of the law. Christ fulfilled all the law.
Amen. That's right.
He was that beast and that blood for the Day of Atonement.
Yes, sir.
And he fulfilled it.
Amen.
But he also fulfilled honor your mother and your father too.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The word the Scripture uses, the word the writer of Hebrews uses, is disannulled.
Yeah.
It's the word. Let us just use what the book says.
Yeah. There you go.
And we won't confound ourselves and other people as much. Now, if a man's blind, he ain't going to get none of it. Christ disannulled the shadows. You will read that in Hebrews 7, verse 18, in chapter 8, verse 5, and verse 13. Even the writer of Hebrews said that part, and if you look at it, it's the Levitical priesthood, the sacrifices, the tabernacle. He said it's ready to what? Not be fulfilled. It was already fulfilled when Christ came into this world. It's ready to be, now, it's ready to vanish away.
There you go. Amen.
God still tells mankind, you love me with your heart, mind, soul, and all your strength.
Amen.
And you love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
But he doesn't tell you to go get in the Day of Atonement lamb. Because if you do, you got to have the right place.
Yes,
it's got to be that tabernacle God purposed or that temple God purposed. And it's got to be the right priest, yea, a high priest doing it, with the right clothes on,
yeah,
at the right time of year. Yes or no? Yes or no? But folks, Christ fulfilled that, but also disannulled it.
Amen.
Disannulled it. Somebody said, explain it. I'm not in the explaining business. I'm in the preaching business.
Exactly.
And that's what God says.
Amen.
But we are so bent on having every duck in a row that we want to have it in a row so that we comprehend all parts at all times together. And you can't do it because that's the mind of God.
There you go.
Now think about it. The shadows are disannulled. They have vanished away. And in 70 A.D., God shut it down for good.
Yes, sir.
Forever.
Yes, sir. That's right.
As His ordained way. The temple was destroyed by Titus in 70 A.D., and there ain't been not one sacrifice by any Levitical priest been offered at Jerusalem in a temple ever since.
Amen.
God shut it down.
Yes, sir.
Because He not only intended by Christ to fulfill it, but to disannul it.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, He made His Son a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after order of Aaron.
Exactly right.
Go back and look at Hebrews. The shadows are disannulled. They've vanished. All the law is fulfilled. But the shadows are set with the sun.
Yes, sir.
Now you're sort of like the sun. And you see all the shadows from that sun.
Yeah.
When that sun goes down, you don't see any other shadow from that sun.
That's right.
And that day is gone forever.
Yes, sir.
Now, God's providence, maybe another one, but that's a different day.
Exactly.
The shadows set with the sun.
That's right.
But this is valid only for believers.
Amen.
Because if you're an unbeliever, God still expects you to keep it all.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. And go find you a Levitical priest.
There you go.
God also allowed the records of the Jews in their birthplace, who they were under, was kept where? In the temple. And they were destroyed when the temple was destroyed. And not one Jew can prove his lineage today by those documents. They do not exist. So, Mac, I want to seek God's favor by the law. I've got two opposing things. I've got something I cannot do. Oh, that God shows us that. Oh, that God shows us that. Here's what the way the Apostle Paul put it. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. He is continuing preaching. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, he was preaching Jesus to them.
Yes, sir.
That through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Whatever sins.
That's right.
And by him, all that believe are justified from all things by which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now beware and take heed that you're a part of that number.
Yes, sir.
And not another number that says, beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets, behold, ye despisers and wonder. Well, I just can't get that. No, because you just won't bow down and submit to Christ.
There you go.
Behold, ye despisers of wonder and perish, for I will work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, even if somebody tells it to you.
Exactly.
Hmm?
That's it.
Hmm? The believer has no dilemma. I have no dilemma. My Lord has fulfilled it all.
Amen.
And He even took away completely a part of it. Made it impossible for me to even touch it. That's the Levitical worship.
Yes,
I can't even touch that now.
Exactly.
Why? To force me to rest in Christ alone.
Amen.
The believer has no dilemma. My only dilemma is me.
Me.
Yeah. What's down in here? That's my dilemma. But God settled that too. Our brother just preached that to us a few moments ago. The believer has no dilemma. The unbeliever, on the other hand, is caught between doing and resting.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Caught between it. Like it's a proverbial rock and the hard place.
Sir.
It is no wonder. It's no wonder to me that those who are placed under law by lying preachers... It is no wonder to me that those under law are driven to hypocrisy.
Yeah.
To act like they're doing something that they're really not.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Well, I'm at least putting forth my best shot at obeying God's law. God's law doesn't demand your best shot. It demands perfection.
Amen.
Because God is perfect.
Yeah.
And He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. I can't.
Exactly.
Not like that.
No, sir.
Can you? If you think you can, you're blind. You're blind. No wonder they're driven to hypocrisy. It's no wonder they're driven to complacency. Well, it don't really matter. I'll just do what best I can do, and hopefully everything will work out in the end.
Yeah.
That's a miserable way to live.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah.
It's no wonder that they're driven to distortion of the Scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, this book is not hard to understand.
No, sir.
It's actually translated into clear English for us. And you can even go get you a amplified version, and it can be pretty good at times.
Yeah.
Our problem is not understanding it academically,
yeah.
Mentally.
Yeah.
It's understanding it and loving it and bowing to it spiritually.
Amen.
There you go. That's exactly.
It's no wonder that people under law are just driven to take the Scripture and say, well, but I don't see that, preacher. Yeah, you do. It's right here in this book. You don't love it.
Exactly.
There's an old covenant and a new covenant. And the fact that God called a new covenant, called one an old covenant, it already lets you know there's a new one coming if you got an old one.
Yeah.
No wonder they're driven to distort this. It's no wonder to me that they're driven to madness. You know, there's been people out there that start engaging in this book and trying to understand it and figure it out. It drives them to madness.
Yeah, that's right.
You know that?
Okay.
I need rest from my doing. What about you?
Amen.
I need rest from my doing.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself forced to trust Christ only? Do you find yourself kind of thanking God when it says, blessed is the man that worketh not, but believeth on him that sent me. Now, I'm paraphrasing, huh? But it's what he's talking about. Blessed is the man that worketh not, but believeth on God, the person of his Son. Why? God don't impute sin to that person.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you, do I want to be among the some who must enter in? I am glad it says some must.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Yes, sir.
That gives me hope.
Yeah.
Somebody got to get there.
Exactly.
Now listen to it. These are the words of Christ Himself. He was not some denominational fanatic.
Yeah.
Neither was He a Jewish fanatic.
Yeah.
Though He was purely Jewish.
Yes, sir.
Look at what He said. Matthew 10, verse 25, at that time, and He's just talked about judgment.
Yeah.
And this is going to be better for some folks. It's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it was for some folks in His day.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's an amazing thing.
That's exactly right.
Now, I don't mean to belittle, but it's going to be better for the homosexuals, those sexual perverts, than it would for some that He preached to in His day. I can't explain it. People say, well, the fires of hell will be a little hotter for one. I don't know what all that means. But I believe what Christ said.
Amen.
But then He says these things. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father,
yes, sir,
Lord of heaven and earth, because You did purpose to reveal this, but only to some.
Exactly.
Is that not what He says here? Look at it.
Yeah.
O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. But notice, the babes, it's not because the babes are better than the wise and prudent.
No.
It still had to be revealed.
Amen.
To the babes. You see that?
Yeah.
The babes are not any smarter than anybody else.
Exactly.
Or just better off because they're babes. It's got to be what? Revealed. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. That's all the explanation of some and some only that we're going to get from God.
Exactly.
You know that? Because it seemed good in His sight. All things are delivered unto Me of My Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and He to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Come, unto me.
Amen.
All ye that labor, but you don't just labor. Thousands labor, and they think they're accomplishing something before God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know that yoke.
Amen.
You have some sense of that curse.
Yeah.
Take my yoke upon you. What, another yoke? Yeah. Yeah, it's a yoke.
Yes, sir.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest.
Amen.
Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden's light.
Amen.
You see it?
Exactly.
If only, Joe, I could explain that.
Yeah.
So people could just get it. But nevertheless, it's got to be revealed.
Amen.
Don't it?
That's it.
God's got to open your eyes. God's got to open your heart. Yeah, even better, give you a new heart. And open your ears to hear it. And when you do, you will look at God's holy law.
Yeah.
And I ask you to read this law. We're reading law now, ain't we? Well, we've been here for a little while now. Starting now into the thick and thin of it. Law! What's it do? It shuts me down.
Yes, sir.
Makes me feel guilty.
Yeah.
Condemns me. Yeah. Lets me see, oh, wretched man that I am.
Amen.
And it makes me cry out, Joe, for a who.
That's right.
Not a what.
Amen.
Paul didn't even debate. Well, it's not a what, it's a who. He just says, who shall deliver me? He ain't even going the other way. We're not even going to talk about the whats. It's all about a what? A who.
Yeah.
That who is Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
Mike, would you close us in prayer, please?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the hour that thou hast given us to study and worship Spirit and truth. Thank you for the men that you sent to explain to us the scripture. Heavenly Father, we ask thee to forgive us our sins.
Yes.
We know we fail thee daily, but through our weaknesses we realize our strength lies in thee.
Yes.
And Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless our church, bless each and every one, and those that are sick, not able to be here, be with them. And Heavenly Father, again, forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.